Hello and welcome to the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Momano, your host, and we're here to help achievers and business owners and leaders move forward so they can reach their potential. I do this by interviewing Rochester business movers and shakers. And today I have what I would define as a Rochester business and entrepreneur legend, one of my mentors in my past 20 years as an entrepreneur. I have Dick Kaplan, who his current company, and we're going to talk about the rest of the companies, is called Courageous, and we're going to talk about that. Dick, welcome to the show.
Thank you, David.
And so first off, I want to say thank you. We're going to talk about, you know, your history in Rochester with all the businesses that you've created and grown. But first of all, personally, thank you. You're I don't know if you've ever known this, but you're in my secret mastermind alliance. So honestly, about 15 years ago, I reread Think and Grow Rich, and it said to create a mastermind alliance. I put you on it.
Yeah,
and
thank you.
And you were gracious enough to say, yeah, let's have lunch. And I know you're really busy, but you're on like 20 boards running companies. But whenever I call and say, hey, can we grab breakfast or lunch, you say yes. And so I want to thank you for that up front. You've been a mentor and a friend and a guide, a navigator for me, telling me whether ideas are somewhere on the 0 to 10 scale. So thank you. So I truly appreciate that.
It's been my pleasure.
Yeah, so thank you. And I'm sure I'm not the only one. So thank you on behalf of a lot of Rochesterians and people in general. So, but Dick, so you have been an entrepreneur for quite a while. And I think you have a lot of lessons from your father too that you've shared with me. Mm-hmm. What I, especially about sales, right? And so what I would love to do, if you don't mind, let's start off the interview by just, if you could kind of tell us about your journey as an entrepreneur in Rochester, New York.
Well, I'm not quite sure what an entrepreneur means. I've heard that word many times before. But I like to do, what I found is what I'm good at and what I like to do is startups and turnarounds. So I'm on my 21st company right now, Courageous, my 21st company. Have some very big successes, some medium successes, and some failures. But it's the journey that's the important thing, and I've enjoyed that, and so that's what I found I'm good at.
Mr. Fix It.
Well, in a way, I think the most important thing in life, not only just business but life, but especially business, is to know your weaknesses. Your strengths you don't have to be aware of because by definition they take care of themselves. But if you don't know your weaknesses, you'll trip over yourself your whole life. And I know so many incredibly talented people that happened to them. They just could not see or admit their weaknesses, and what you do with your weakness when you know is you surround yourself with people that will cover those weaknesses and empower them, and that's really the secret. A CEO doesn't have to be good at anything. They just have to be able to get a vision and surround himself with people smarter than them, which I always say is not hard for me, and that's not false. I mean, mm-hmm. A lot of people say I'm just being humble, but no, it's true. And just keep everybody working together. And if you happen to have a talent, my talent is sales and marketing, that's good. And so that's what I do. But I try to cover all my other weaknesses by getting other people. And once a company gets past the startup stage, I sort of want to step aside. Once it needs process and detail and administration, my talent doesn't go that way, so I like to.
Yeah.
It's part of my ADD, too, just moving on.
Sure. Well, so a friend of mine, Cameron Harold, who was one of the first guys at 1-800-GOT-JUNK, and it really is responsible for growing that company, he has a great saying, and I love it. He said, if you're the smartest person in the room, you are in the wrong room.
Right. You know? Absolutely.
So you've gotten that from day one. So
yes.
So tell us about your first business adventure, we'll say.
Well, my dad started a company called Max Pice Floor Covering.
Sure.
And my dream all through high school and college, which was both rocky careers, but was to go into the business. And I did in 1970. Actually, I was sort of forced into it. My brother passed away. My mother, my father, and my brother were running the company. And my brother had cancer, passed away, and my parents were just couldn't go into the business anymore. They were just devastated.
Sure.
So I had to go in, and I did. We had one store at that time. So I started expanding, and in the early 80s, we had actually around 22 outlets. And was doing well, and my next step was to go national. I wanted to have a national chain. But in doing my due diligence, I started to realize that retail especially in the Northeast, was not a place, good place to be in the long run. We were losing population, and it was a problem. It was a tough business. So I decided that the best thing I could do is sell the business while it was doing well. But during that time when I had Max Pies, I started an advertising agency with a partner, Jeff Resnick. We had Resnick Media Associates. Started a computer company for the carpet industry. I did real estate. I owned all our own real estate. Plus we did things different than other people. We had higher margins. We had better service. We had better sales techniques and everything. So what I decided to do instead of expanding us is to create a management support and buying group for the carpet industry. And we called it the Maxim Group. And we had different divisions. The buying group was called Carpet Max. The computer area was called CompuMax. The advertising agency, we made AdMax. Then we had, for the real estate consulting, it was Equimax. So we had all these different divisions, which would help entrepreneurs and business people in the carpet business around the country grow their business. We could show them how to increase their margins, teach them better sales techniques. And it worked. It became a New York Stock Exchange company, and then it was sold, actually. But it was very, very successful. And then when during that time, I started some other companies, a company called WorkSmart, which is a management support group and a cultural thing for multinational big companies. I sold that to my partner at that time and got into different things. But after I left, after Maxim was sold, I got a call from some friends of mine who had invested in a business called Pictometry. And they were about to close it up. They had a very interesting technology, but they couldn't get it going. Mm. And so as a friend, I went in and took a look at it. And after about 30 days, I went back and said, it's a great idea, but it doesn't scale. It can't work. So they asked me to keep looking and see if there was any value to it that they could sell it for. And I was in the shower one day. They wrote an article about this. They called it an in-shower epiphany, which is really what it was. And something hit me, and I got an idea, and got out and drew this up and everything. And fortunately, my favorite expression is I'd rather be lucky than smart. At Pictometry was a guy named Steve Schultz, who now is supervisor of Henrietta, which is oddly enough, But that's another journey Steve took. But Steve was an absolute genius, math, science, computers, data processing, programming, architecture, just a genius. And I went to him with this idea, and he said, yeah, we could do that. And so we did it. And Steve brought in another guy, Frank Giafrida, who was another cut from the same cloth as Steve, and I brought in a great operations guy, a guy named Scott Hill, and Dan Panacchia marketing. We brought in a great group and built the company up and did extremely well. Did extremely well, and as a matter of fact, it was sold not too long ago for almost $800 million.
Wow, and they were going to close it. They were going to close it.
Right.
Shop.
Right. So, and I've gotten involved in other investments during that time. There's four or five companies now that I'm invested in that I'm very excited about. But Courageous is the one I'm most excited about. As a matter of fact, of all the businesses I ever started or did, as big as some of them were, this has the potential to be the biggest.
Cool.
Very excited about it.
Hey, Dick, on that note, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll talk about Courageous when we get back. I'm here with Dick Kaplan from Courageous, and really, kind of an umbrella title is Great Rochester Entrepreneur and Mentor. How's that sound? Can you put that in your business
card? I guess so.
Great. All right, we'll be right back.
Join Gordon Deal weekdays from 5 to 9 for America's Morning News on 1310 WOKR.
If you or your family love the freedom of swimming any time of year, if you love sharing good times and making great memories, or if you want one of the best total body workouts ever, then it's time to discover the three C's of your very own endless pool. The first C is convenience. Imagine swimming year-round in your own private swimming pool, installed indoors or out, just steps away. The second C is comfort. With sculpted spa seats and your own adjustable temperature, you can easily escape the stress of your day. And the third C is cost. Your endless pool is an affordable luxury at a fraction of the cost of a regular pool. And here's a bonus C, choice. Because when you call for your free endless pool idea kit, you'll receive information on our full line of pools to suit your budget and location.
Call now for your free information, 800-281-4117. That's 800-281-4117.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency in the world.
I couldn't sleep. We were being audited.
They do not give up until you pay.
They put a lien on my house.
How about you? Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start. Sometimes you just need a second chance.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
At Tax Solutions Now, our affiliates are all accredited by the Better Business Bureau and members of the National Association of Tax Professionals.
We saved our home and overcame the most powerful collection agency in the world.
Time is running out. Call Tax Solutions now. Call 800-311-6531. 800-311-6531. 800-311-6531. 800-311-6531.
Finally, a radio station for conversation. 1310 WOKR.
We are back with the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Amato. I'm here with Dick Kaplan from Courageous Technologies. And Dick has just been sharing, if you're just tuning in, Dick kind of summed up his, 30-year business journey in about 9 minutes. So great job with that. many, just great companies. And most recent success was Pictometry, which we talked about the fact that he was called in by some of the investors because they were going to shut the doors and said, hey, Dick, why don't you take a look at this, see if there's anything we could salvage. Well, a few years later, it sold for $800 million. So great job. I can see why they call you the Mr. Fix-It Man, right? Mr. Turnaround Man. So they called you back, some different investors,
different
people, and said, hey, we loved how you took a look at Pictometry and saved it. Can you take a look at this company, which was called Torvik at the time? You've since changed the name to Courageous, and we could talk about why. Mm-hmm. So take us to that journey of where this company was when they called you in to mm-hmm. where it is today.
Well, they were actually about to go out of business, too. They were out of cash, had gone through a lot of cash, and went through a number of different CEOs and different people and just couldn't get it going. And they had some interesting technologies, but couldn't what I call productize them. Actually, excuse me. The first thing you do when you're looking at a company is set up a business model. And there's five things I look at when I'm setting up a business model. The number one thing is, can it be big? Does it have the potential to be national or international? And this is a lifestyle choice. I mean, you can choose to have a little company. You can choose to work for somebody else. You can choose to live to work in a gas station or a garage and build a nice little business. But if you're going to put in 16 hours a day, in my opinion, at least to my way of thinking, you might as well do it in something that has the potential to be huge. So that's the first thing I look for. How do you make this business model be very, very big? Number two, is there something proprietary about it? Is there something that you can either patent or trade secret that makes it something other people can't do? Number three, is there recurring revenue? So you don't have to start from zero every year. If you can set up some type of subscription model or something that the revenue has to recur, people have to keep buying it, the razor blade type of thing. And number four, is there high margins? If it's a commodity, you're not going to be able to make high margins. But if you have something different and different enough and the demand would be there, you can have high margins. And lastly, does it really do something good for the world, for your clients, for the environment, or whatever? So if you can create a business model that does all five of those, that's the winner. And it's interesting. You can take something that doesn't seem to fit that. For instance, one of my favorite examples is a guy that owned a florist shop. You know, how do you make that into a national thing? Well, he started Flores Telegraph Delivery, which is not Telegraph anymore, obviously, but FTD, and made it into a worldwide success and everything. So if you, with the right kind of creativity and imagination and vision, you can create a business model that can fill those, at least most of those criteria. So when I came into to Torvec, I brought some friends of mine in. I'm on the board at RIT. I brought some engineers over from there. And found there were two very interesting technologies that they had. Now, when I do a lot of lecturing on startups, and what I tell people is the most important thing is focus. And in this company, I've broken my rule, that rule twice. So we started with two technologies. One was a new kind of differential for a car, and the other was a new kind of hydraulic pump. I knew nothing about either of them, but learned pretty quickly and the potential of it. Well, the isotorque, which was the differential, would outperform anything else in the market. One of the major car companies did tests, and in 8 different tests, this was far superior in performance than anything they were using. But the problem was it broke under heavy pressure, and these manufacturers will not put something in that won't take everything the car can give it. And so we tried for 3 years to improve it, different types of steel, and it didn't work, so I had to stop that. Now, we're a public company. And this is exactly why a startup should not be a public company. Startups are messy. You have to change and change quickly a lot of times, and shareholders don't like that. Angel investors understand that. Shareholders don't like that. So I had to take one of our premier products and scrap it, which was unfortunate. The other was a hydraulic pump, and this was we've been working on it now 5 years, and it is just now getting done, which is not unheard of. That went according to schedule. But during that time, I was on the board of a company, another startup actually, that did business with trucking. And from that, I learned that most trucking accidents are fatigue related. I'm also on the board of the University of Rochester Medical Center, and I know from that most mistakes in hospitals are done later in shifts from fatigue. So I sort of got programmed a little bit as how important fatigue was and started doing some research. And got an idea. This is kind of a funny story. I'll tell it very quickly. I got an idea, and I was sent to a gentleman named Dr. Kenneth Wright out at the University of Colorado at Boulder, who is, that's one of the biggest labs for fatigue management in the country, and he's had that lab. And he said, it sounds interesting. After you do your clinicals, let me know. And clinicals, I didn't even know what a clinical was really at that time. Yeah. But anyway, so we hired an engineer and got lucky again, got another Steve Schultz type of guy in, and which was amazing. And another mathematician that we had here started coming up with some incredible new technology. So my idea is completely scrapped, but they found a better way to do it and worked with Dr. Wright, and we now have an incredible breakthrough technology that can tell somebody their fatigue level in real time. It's a score. It's called the CORA score. CORA is the Greek word to mean to care for somebody, but it also stands for Circadian User Risk Assessment, and it's a 1 to 10 score. And I kind of compare this to the blood pressure cuff. When they came out with the blood pressure cuff, they didn't know 120 over 80 was good, bad. They just knew they'd get numbers. Well, that's what this is now also, except we're a little ahead. We know that a 3, if you get down to a 3, your body will react as if you had a 0.08 alcohol content or 21 hours without sleep. So now whether you take a driver off at a 3.2 or a 3.8, that's what they're going to be researching to figure that out. So, but it's really breakthrough, and then we have ways to mitigate it. We have programs to mitigate people that have problems. So if a driver gets down to a 3 in the middle of the day, there are some short-term mitigations he can do. So take a half hour off, and he can get himself back up for another few hours. And then the big thing is changing behavior, so long-term he won't run into that problem. So it's a wonderful, wonderful technology. As I say, it not only tells you have a problem, but tells you how to solve the problem.
So, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but
that's okay.
I just want to talk about sleep for a second because, I mean, first of all, you came into a company that was, talking about very technical stuff as it relates to trucking.
Right.
And you've told me the original product a couple of times, and I still don't know what it is. But when you talk about this, everybody gets it right away.
Right.
You totally revamped the company, brand new product.
Right.
But I want to talk about sleep because as a business owner, I've learned so much about how important sleep is. So Dr. Oz, whether you like him or not, You know, he says, he always asks people, what's the number one thing? Is it nutrition, exercise? You know, what is it? It's like sleep. Sleep is the number one thing. In fact, if you miss a whole night of sleep and then continue on without recapturing that sleep, mm-hmm. it even affects you up to 6 months later, right?
Sleep debt, yes. Yeah. You create sleep debt.
Yeah.
And it manifests itself to a company in productivity. It actually cost American industry over $200 billion a year in lack of productivity caused by fatigue. Mistakes and accidents, as they say, most accidents, mistakes, and even for accountants and things, you wouldn't sleep. You wouldn't think that that'd be important. But people make mistakes. Their cognitive ability is really impaired when they don't sleep. And absenteeism because of your health. Then the way it manifests itself for the individual is health. It will take years off your life. It plays havoc with your immune system, creates obesity because it slows your metabolism down if you don't sleep, and causes all sorts of mental illness. It is amazing. And you look at the Wall Street Journal, there's books now, they're coming out every day with no research about sleep and how important it is. So this couldn't be a better time for this tool.
Donald Trump rags it. He only gets 3 hours a night.
I won't talk about that. But believe me, that's not good for him or us.
Right.
your cognitive abilities are severely hampered. To give you an idea, policemen, these are statistics, policemen that get less than 7 hours of sleep have a 30% more complaints about the way they treat people.
Wow.
A policeman that gets less than 7 hours of sleep, if somebody's taking something out of their inside pocket, there's a 40% decrease in his ability to tell the difference in the right timing between a gun and a cell phone if somebody's taking it out of their pocket.
Wow.
So it really is so important to day-to-day, long-term and day-to-day, that you learn to sleep properly. And that's why the timing couldn't be better for this technology. We're the only ones in the world who can do this.
Wow.
So that's our one product, which is called the Cora Division. And then I mentioned before we were working on a hydraulics, new kind of hydraulic pump. People don't know much about hydraulics, but it is incredibly huge business and growing. It's a very, very efficient way to do work. And basically, it hasn't changed in 100 years. It's gotten better, but it's basically the same technology. Well, another guy got another engineer, and these are all from RIT. RIT just, I don't know what they put in the water there, but these geniuses that just don't do things, they do huge things.
Yeah.
And we brought an intern in, and he heard what we were doing, and he started working on it at home, brought in some designs, and he's the head of the whole division now. But we have a complete new change in hydraulics that makes the pumps smaller, more efficient, and less expensive than any pump in the world. And so we're real excited about that. Both these products now are just ready to launch. They'll be ready to launch basically in the next month or two.
Beautiful. So unrelated, two completely different divisions.
And which is against everything I tell people not to do.
Every now and then you've got to break the rules.
I rationalize it by saying you don't want to have blinders on.
It's the wrong
thing to do. And it is causing problems. You know, when I talk to investors and everything, trying to explain two things, they sort of don't get either. And that can cause a problem.
Right.
And I've separated the divisions out. Different engineers and everything. It has caused some problems.
Yeah. Well, and maybe you separate the companies one day, sell a piece of it, who knows, right?
There's a lot of things that could happen with
it. Very good. So I think, you know, from our listeners, they're probably going to understand the sleep deprivation product a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
I know we had lunch a few months ago and you were, kind of explaining it to me, like functionally how it would work.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially, there's a truck driver driving for, 20 hours trying to make the deadline, but your product is going to say, hey, you need a nap.
Right. The only way they monitor truck drivers now is the time, how much time they've been driving. They're allowed 10 hours, and they have to do it. And there's new regulations coming out. There's now electronic logging coming out. But time means nothing. I mean, if you get good 8 hours sleep with no sleep debt, you should be good for 16 hours. But if you don't, so somebody that goes 10 hours might be fine for another 2-3 hours. There's people, though, that haven't gotten good sleep, and after 5 hours, they could be in trouble. An example is Tracy Morgan. I don't know if you remember.
Sure, yes.
His limousine was hit by a Walmart driver, and his friend was killed. He was very badly injured. That driver only had 7 hours on his log. He was driving from North Carolina to New Jersey. What they didn't know is he spent 10 hours in his car driving from Florida to North Carolina to get to the truck and hadn't slept for 6 hours before he left there. So when he got in that truck, he had been up for 16 hours already and driving for 10. When he hit Tracy Morgan, he was up for 24 hours and driving for 18 hours. Wow. So that's what this would do. He would have gotten in his truck and pressed. This is a wearable, and there's 16 different metrics we use to get your CORA score. And he would have gone on. He would have been a 2.8 or so. He would have never gotten on the road. That accident never would have happened if they were using this technology. And that's just plane crashes that have happened that we believe, and lots of train accidents. Most of them are all sleep-related. None of those accidents would happen. Bus accidents, all the bus and other truck accidents around the country that kill a lot of people.
Right, car accidents too, right?
Yeah. Right. We think we can cut truck accidents down by 50%. Fatigue-related truck accidents, which are about 70%, we think. Down by 50%.
Wow. How many, insurance companies, lives that is?
It'll probably be around 4,000 or 5,000 lives easily.
A year.
But a year. Wow. And plus injuries and plus the cost for insurance companies and the multi hundreds of billions of dollars a year.
So this product is checking a lot of your five boxes that we talked
right.
about.
This does all of them. does all of them. Yeah. So
really saving the world type of play. I mean, 5,000 lives a year, right?
Right.
I mean,
that's, and we actually monitor each individual, and if they have a problem, we get in touch with them and get them into our Z-Coach education or Z-Coach intervention programs. So we'll help people. People are going to live longer because of this. Yeah. It's going to make them healthier and make them aware of how important it is. So I'm really excited. This is one. These two products, actually, hydraulics isn't as sexy or as understandable, but this is going to save huge amounts of energy because it's so much more efficient and cost a lot less. So it's going to, the cost of products will be less. And these are used in all the off-road machines you see. It's used in garbage trucks, and it's used in manufacturing. So this is going to cut costs for a lot of people in a lot of ways. So both of these products are world-changing, and that's why I'm so excited and going to help the world.
Awesome. So. Hey, Dick, we're going to take a quick break. I'm here with Dick Kaplan from Courageous Technologies, and we'll be right back.
Join Gordon Deal weekdays from 5 to 9 for America's Morning News on 1310 WOKR.
Rebuild or replace transmission, $3,200. Anti-lock brake system, $1,000. Rebuild or replace engine, $2,400. Truth is, once your manufacturer's warranty runs out, it's all on you. Every last cent. Get protection for covered repairs with a vehicle service contract from Toco Warranty. Unlike other companies, with Toco, there's no down payment, and the monthly payments are really affordable. Not sure how long you're keeping your car? At Toco, you can pay as you go. Keep your hard-earned cash and call Toco Warranty right now at 800-261-7848 to save big money on covered auto repairs. Prices vary by vehicle, but for about the cost of a tank of gas per month, a Toco plan has your back on expensive covered car repairs. Monthly payments are very affordable. Get your free quote now. Call Toco at 800-261-7848. That's 800-261-7848. 800-261-7848. Cancellation fee may apply. Subject to eligibility. Not available in Missouri and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warrantech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit tocowarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
Hi, I'm Joan London, and if you're worried about your parent or a loved one living alone like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information.
They had obviously researched every place, not just given me names.
Really? Yeah.
They found me a place for what she could afford, and it was magnificent.
We're now very confident that she's safe, and they just helped every step of the way, and I can't thank them enough.
So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, call A Place for Mom. This is a free service, and you can trust them to help you.
If you're struggling to find reliable senior living information for your mom or dad, then call to get the free help you need during this turbulent time. Call now, 800-217-1052. 800-217-1052.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
please call 1-800-414-1305 for your free Life Alert brochure. That's 1-800-414-1305. 1-800-414-1305. Call for your free Life Alert brochure today at 1-800-414-1305.
Canandaigua's newest radio station, 1310 WOKR.
We are back with the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Mamano, your host. I'm here with serial entrepreneur Dick Kaplan, who is his current company is Courageous, which has two divisions going against his rule of focus, and he's focusing on two things that are both going to launch in 2018. So very exciting. And so tell me about the name. So people hear Courageous, you know, they, right. they probably think of the actual word Courageous.
C-O-U-R-A, yeah. whatever it's called.
But this is C-U-R, and right. then A-E-G-I-S, right. Courageous Technology. Yeah. So tell
well,
us
they
about
the name. The one division is the Cura division, C-U-R-A, which is Circadian User Risk Assessment. And the other is the Aegis division, which is our power division. Aegis is the Greek word to mean powerfully stand behind something. Core is the Greek word, I think I said before, means to care for something. And so I was looking for a new name because Torbeck did not have a good reputation. It should have never been public in the first place, but it was when I came. So I wanted to change the name, and I'm in my office one day and these divisions, and I'm looking at Cora and Aegis, and then just hit me, Courageous.
Courageous.
So it's not spelled like the normal courage, Courageous, but it's it says what we do.
Yeah.
That's
what. What's one of your talents? Is I've known you over the years, is just taking maybe complex things and turning them into something really simple, right?
Well, actually, you say it's a strength. It's actually the weakness, my weakness, which turns into a strength.
Oh, that's true.
I say to people, the most important thing in life is knowing your weaknesses. Mm-hmm. It's your strengths, by definition, take care of themselves. You don't have to be aware of them. But if you don't know your weaknesses, you'll just trip over yourself your whole life. And my problem is I have trouble with complexity. Remember I said once a company gets to where it needs process administration, things get more complicated.
You're out of there.
Yeah, I got to get out because my mind doesn't work well with complexity. So what that makes me do is when there is something complex is to take it down to very simple terms. And what I found is that is an extremely valuable thing. A computer, for instance, a computer and data processing and all this whole world, Facebook, this whole world of the internet and everything is based on one thing, either a charge or not a charge. That's it. It's the one thing, and from that they've invented this. So my mind would get down to that level, and then I'd have problems that it went up from there. But I tend to see things very simplistically. But that's a good thing because sometimes that's where you find the kernel of success is in the simpler way to look at it.
Well, and you've done some great things with knowing your weaknesses, so that's fantastic. Yep. You've been Business Person of the Year, right?
Yep.
So you were a finalist three times, is that right?
When twice.
Oh, twice.
Three times. I made it the third time.
You made it the third time, yeah.
Every time, the first two times, it was at a dinner and everything. This was for, I don't know which one this was for. I think it was the Businessman of the Year. And when we'd go up on the stage, four or five of us, and then somebody'd win. And the first two times I'd come back and my wife would have an L on her on her forehead with her fingers up there. Yeah. Loser.
Keep you modest. So, keep you modest, right?
Yeah, but the third time was a charm.
Well, I was a finalist you the third time.
Right.
And I was laughing because I think I was like this 28-year-old punk kid. I'm like, what am I doing up here with Dick Kaplan? If I won, I was going to hand it to you. So I'm glad you won.
Well, thank you.
So I've been twice, right?
Right.
But I'm waiting for the third time. I'm like, let me make sure the stars are aligned. Because the first time I was up there, I was with Jim Hammer.
Yeah, sure.
Right?
Well, I think they like to give it to older guys.
Well, I'm like, listen, if I win this, I got to hand it to Jim. Right.
Well, Jim's an amazing guy. Right.
Another amazing entrepreneur. Right. So we were talking about sleep too, and about how your product will let people know, almost like a breathalyzer, right? How much sleep they need.
Well, one of the names we copyright is Fatigalizer.
Oh, beautiful.
So,
all right, Fatigalizer.
I like that.
What is the recommended sleep that a person should
get? You should strive for at least 8 hours of sleep a night. Now, people have different.
The stuff to do as you get older, though. Like, I wake up at 3 in the morning.
That's what Z-Coach Education is about, is teach you how to go to sleep and stay asleep. And that's part of it. Okay. You know, when we first came out with the monitoring system, the Cora score, the 1 to 10 score, it was funny. I was sitting in my office, and as our engineers and Dr. Wright were getting excited about this, I started thinking, you know the ad on TV where the bank's being robbed and they're shooting, and everybody hits the ground. The lady looks up at the guard and says, "Do something."
Yeah.
And he says, "Well, I'm not a guard. I'm a monitor.
Right.
I just tell you when the bank's being robbed," and he looks and says, "The bank's being robbed."
Yeah.
So I kind of looked at us this way. Well, okay, now we have something that we can tell people that they have a problem in real time and have them do something to get off the road or whatever. But telling people they have a problem without a way to solve the problem is only halfway. So that's where I started doing research, and we actually bought a company that had some very, very good programs in education, in interventions, medical interventions, things like that. So we bought that.
On how to sleep better.
On how to sleep better, how important sleep is, kind of all the, I gave you some statistics with police and everything. There's all sorts of statistics to tell people how important it is and understand sometimes some of the problems they're having that they didn't know was sleep related.
Right.
So it helps people tremendously. And then once we tell them and convince them how important sleep is, how do you change your behavior to sleep better? And it is a behavioral problem, mostly. And
what are then, some of the top tips you can share? I would say like no coffee after maybe three.
Yeah.
No, don't be around screens and everything.
Right.
You
the
go to
blue
bed.
Light from computer screens or TV. There's things you can do. You can wear these yellow glasses, which filters out the blue light. Actually, on most computers now, they have a screen that you can turn off the blue light. That raises your melatonin level. Mm-hmm. And the higher your melatonin level, the more tired you are. I'm sorry, it lowers your melatonin level. The higher it is, the better. Your body automatically produces it when it gets dark.
Yeah.
It's light sensitive. And so when that blue light will reduce it, so you watch TV for a few hours, try and get in bed, and your melatonin's down.
Yeah.
So it's hard to go to
sleep. I bought some tea called Get Some Z's.
Yeah. There's all sorts of things you can do, but that's what Z-Coach Education does. It's a whole course. It's
an
online
course. I want to take it.
You buy a watch. It's called the Mycadian watch.
Okay.
And we hope to be able to use other watches soon also, Fitbit and Apple and things like that, so and just by our program.
That's great. That's
so
great.
And it's a monitoring program.
So Winston Churchill and Napoleon documented that part of their success was that they took a nap every day, right?
Absolutely. Well, that's one of the ways. If you get down to a three, for instance, you can take a power nap. We will have a nap button on the wearable that you press it, and it doesn't start timing until it knows you're asleep, and then it'll get in 20 minutes, it'll wake you up. 20-minute power nap can give you 2-4 hours.
I mean, it's
extremely good for you.
If I take a nap, and my wife laughs at me because I'll be like exactly 20 minutes.
Right.
I wake up and I'm like,
refreshed.
I feel great.
If you go more than that, you'll wake up groggy.
Yeah.
If you go less than that, it doesn't do the good. So 20 minutes is approximately the average, but everybody's a little different.
Good to know.
So, So then there's other things you can do. There's cognitive behavioral changes that you can work with that trains your body to sleep, and it's interesting how that works.
Interesting.
And
so you're getting a good 7-8 hours a night.
Well, I've always slept well
for
some reason. I don't know why. I've always slept well.
You probably just burn the candles and be ready to pass out at the end, right?
Something like that.
But yeah.
One of the things you have to do with startups, there's a tremendous amount of tension, you really have to be able to let that roll off. And fortunately, I am able to do that.
That's good.
So
that's
always cash flow problems. There's always ups and downs. That's why they shouldn't be public, because, as they say, an investor doesn't like to hear, you got to see our main product's gone. Or we have to change this, or we have to change that. It's more for angel investors. But the good thing about this, though, is about being public, is that, in most startups, when you invest, you got to wait for an exit plan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, under this, because it's public, after 6 months, you can really exit. And, so if it goes well, it's easy to get out.
That's great.
So that's the good part about it.
But, good. So I'm here, if you're just tuning in, I'm here with Dick Kaplan with Courageous Technologies. So Dick, for the last, 8 to 9 minutes here, I would love to, have our listeners learn a little bit more about, your tips and habits for success. Now, I know you've been a mentor of mine for years, and I think you've kind of described yourself growing up, schooling, I think you said square peg in a round hole, so tell us about that and tell us about how you finally said, all right, well, here's what I'm good at, here's what I'm bad at. Let me kind of package that up into something.
Well, it's interesting. I have a learning disability, which I was not aware of. And actually, in telling people, it's amazing how many people I tell this to, and they say, I have that same problem, maybe not to the degree I have. What it is when I start reading, well, the best I can explain it, when you're a little kid and there was food you really liked, and you'd start eating it, and you'd eat it fast, and all of a sudden you have so much in your mouth that you can't swallow it anymore. You can't chew it or swallow it, so you got to spit some of it out. Well, that's why information goes into me. After about 5 minutes of reading, it stops going down, and it just sits there. And then I realize the last three pages, I have no idea what I read. It just isn't going through, and it tires me out terribly. So I could not go home and do homework. I couldn't go home and study because I just get so tired after 5 minutes, and I wouldn't be able to read. I have trouble. I can't read books for that reason. I can listen to books, which is interesting, and that's how I actually got through school. I don't like to be wrong, and that's not an uncommon thing. So when I take tests and I get an F on the test, I'd listen in class when they'd go over it, and I'd learn. So it's not a good way to learn, but I did. And so I got a lot out of school. In elementary algebra, I remember in ninth grade, I got straight F's and D's the whole year, and then I got the highest mark in the Regents in the city. And they called me down. Yeah, they called me down and accused me of cheating. And I said, well, if I got the highest mark, who could I have cheated from? Which I thought was a pretty good
That's
argument.
That's a great answer,
but
yeah.
they didn't like that. But they made me take another test in front of them, showing them, you know, that I knew how to do the steps and everything, which I did.
Yeah.
So it was school was very, very tough for me. And I didn't realize it. They said I was lazy. I thought I was lazy because I'd get so tired. But summers, I'd go to work for my dad and stuff, and I'd work, get up, you know, in the morning, and I'd work all day and everything, and I didn't seem to be lazy then. But in school, I seemed to be lazy. And I found out about this around 35 years ago. My sister's a psychologist and a therapist. And we were talking one day. She was in Rochester. And she said, well, you, of course, have a learning disability. And I said, what are you talking about? And she explained this to me. And once she explained it to me, everything just opened up to me. I said, why didn't you tell me about this a long time ago?
Yeah.
But it's interesting. So, you know, and there are a lot of kids in school that have the same problem. And it's not dyslexia, but it's sort of a form of that. Mm-hmm. I see things right, but they just don't absorb.
But a lot of business, you know, brilliance comes from dyslexic, learning disabled people. You know, Paul Orfila from Kinko's, of course, Richard Branson's dyslexic. So there's, and they attribute to the fact that, you know, because of their, you know, learning disability, that they're able to you know, kind of forced to focus on maybe one or two things that they are good at, right?
That's true. That's very true. And plus you learn, I got kicked out of three schools. I stayed back twice. You know, and that was tough on me. You know, your ego and people think you're stupid. And so it probably makes you want to overperform too. It probably gives you that extra push to want to make
you're
up
like
for
I'm going
to
have 20 businesses someday, right?
Well, no, don't think you want to do that. But it does make you want to really perform. Once I got into the business world, it solved my, you know, I didn't have any problems. I wasn't lazy, and you know, I started becoming a little more creative and started really liking it and getting excited and everything, and I found it was a passion. School never did that for me, and I think that's one of the problems with schools, that they don't. Now, of course, they know a lot more than they used to, but especially the district school, the public school system, I think doesn't. Yeah. You know, it's a one size fits all for everybody, which is typical government, actually, where the charters, a lot of the charters are much more attentive to individuals.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm very heavy into education, as you might be able to tell from that.
Right. Yeah.
But we don't want to go there right now.
Right. So last but not least, you've shared some, I believe, sales tips from your father with me, some of the things
absolutely.
You've learned.
Yeah.
So we got a couple minutes left. You care to share?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, we're trying to start a sales course. I got an idea that I wanted to create a master's program in sales because there really, I don't think there's one in the country. And I'm working with RIT now. We're trying to create this. But I wanted this to be to sales what Juilliard is to music. Not everybody can get in. Sales is an art. And the interesting thing is that as a profession, as salespeople, we've done a terrible job selling our own profession. You very rarely hear a mother say, gee, I want my kid to grow up to be a salesperson. And yet salespeople are usually the most highest paid people in a company, and they're absolutely essential. And I've always found you got to go through four or five people to get one good one. The reason that it doesn't have the appeal that law or medicine has, I equate it to golf and bowling. If you want to play golf, you have to get to a certain level before you can go out and play with anybody, or they won't enjoy it, you won't enjoy it. You have to go out and practice and get to a certain level. Bowling, you can go bowl with anybody. You just throw two gutter balls, but you can still have a good time and bowl with anybody. Sales is like that. Sales, anybody can get into. You don't have to get to a certain level. You won't be good at it, and you're not going to last long, and it's going to hurt the companies, but anybody can get into sales. And those people usually think, well, I'll just tell them what I have. If they like it, they buy it. If not, they won't. But sales is an art. And my dad used to tell me that there are certain words said a certain way with a certain timing that can talk anybody into anything. And that's what this course is going to be based on. It's important that you understand, number one, the way people take what you say. Because, you know, it's like having a good, being able to tell a joke. Some people can, some people can't. They're saying the same words, but it just doesn't come out right. So you have to, first of all, understand that when you say something, how is the other person hearing it? And that's the first important thing. Then you have to be persistent. I have a whole bunch of stories about persistence that are very, very interesting. And the world revolves around persistent people. It's amazing how the karma works. So in the sales courses, what we want to do is go through all these different, there's different philosophies of sales, and you have to find the one that fits your personality. And also, another thing people don't understand is there's two types of sales. There's transactional sales, and then there's consultative sales. You know, one of the things people say about selling, you have to be a good listener. Well, that's not true. In a consultative sale, you have to be a good listener, because that's where somebody's called you in and tells you what their problem are, and they want you to help solve it. But transactional sales is when you call somebody and say, can I come in and see you because I have a product? And, you know, especially a busy executive gives you the time to come in. You don't sit down and ask him to tell you about his company.
Right.
He didn't call you. He doesn't have time to talk to you about it. In the first 2 minutes, you have to understand and tell them why your product is going to help them. That's what you have to do. You don't have to listen at all. Once you get them interested, then you can start listening and tell them how your product will solve other problems you might not be aware of they have. But this thing about listening is a very bad thing to train sales, transactional salespeople to do. I'm the worst listener in the world, and I can tell you some stories about that, very funny stories, but I'm not a good listener. I'm a good salesman.
What did you say?
Right. So you have to understand all these dynamics of sales, and it's an art. Just like learning how to paint, you know, even if you have the talent, or learning how to play the piano, even if you have the talent, there's certain basics you have to learn. So what I want this course to be, and we're going to work on a certificate program first, I hope, to create this knowledge. And also, I want an internship. An internship should be in the boot camp of sales, which is furniture, carpeting, retail sales. That is the best place to learn how to sell, because you're dealing with different people every time. You have to be able to read the people. You have to be able to change your presentation, understanding the way they're hearing what you're saying, and address their needs and everything. So, I could go on for an hour about this.
Well, maybe we'll have another show on sales.
Oh, okay.
In fact, I just interviewed Jeffrey Gittimore, self-proclaimed king of sales, a little red book of selling, the sales Bible. We're going to try to bring him to Rochester sometime in 2018. So,
but there are many different books on sales and different philosophies, and they're all right. You got to find the right one for you.
So, hey, Dick, as we just said, we could talk forever, but unfortunately, we do have to go. The time is up. So, Dick, really want to thank you. I'm here with Dick Kaplan, everybody, with Courageous Technologies. If you want to get in touch with Dick, what's the best way?
Well, you can call me at Courageous Technologies.
Okay, call him at Courageous. I'll throw the phone number.
It's 254-1100.
Okay.
And or you can email me at dickk@courageous.com. And Courageous is CUREGIS.
Very good. Well, Dick, thank you for your time. I know you're a busy guy running one company with two big products. So thank you very much. Appreciate it. And thanks again for everything you've done for Rochester and for me personally as a mentor through the years.
Well, thank you, David.
And I wish you continued success. And thank you, listeners, for giving me your time today. Appreciate you listening to the show. And if you or someone you know would like to be considered to be on the Avanti Entrepreneur Show, I'm always looking for business movers and shakers. Avanti means move forward in Italian. We use a lot of Italian Greek words today, right? Move forward. Throw me an email. We'll consider you for the show, david@davidmamano.com. And last but not least, make sure to check us out on the web at davidmamano.com and or avantientrepreneurgroup.com. Thank you so much for listening. Make it a great day and stay awesome.
Innovative Talk Radio, 1310 WOKR.